All right, folks, welcome here. We'll go ahead and get fired up. We do have, is Sean in the room?
No, I'm over here.
Well, I got some trivia for you. All right, kids, you guys did awesome last time. Awesome, let's see how we do.
Whoa.
If we can get started. Okay, there we go.
Trivia.
What was Luke's occupation?
That means
doctor. What did he do for a living?
Oh, he was a
doctor.
Carpenter?
Physician.
He was a soldier.
Fisherman.
He was a physician.
Damn.
I'm a physician, not a magician.
I thought she said the doctor.
How many plagues were sent against the Egyptians? And is correct. What was the second plague against the Egyptians?
Frost.
And what'd you say?
Frost.
Who agrees?
Nope.
Yes.
Yay!
Man.
Good job, girl. Here's a good one. Here's a toughie. Where did Cain dwell after being cast out for murder? There's a place.
Fishing.
I did not know this. So I had to put one in there that I didn't know, and we probably know.
The land of no.
That's a good one. I had to look it up, and I'm like going, is that true? So I don't even know where Gershon is. I don't even know if that's a biblical thing. I kind of made that.
Yeah, it's an honor.
I thought it was, but I'm like, okay, that sounds good. Sounds Old Testament-y. Here we go. How many Proverbs did King Solomon speak?
1,000.
How much would you say?
1,000.
2,000.
3,000.
4,000.
3,000.
Dang it.
3,000 psalms. And how many songs did he sing? Anybody know? I didn't know this either. 1,005 songs. 3,000 psalms, 1,005 songs. I'm like going, that's pretty good. That's a pretty good record there. I'm like going, golly, 3,000 psalms.
Women, a lot of time.
Yeah, they ate up a lot of time. Okay, here we're gonna do a little short sharing tonight, and this is going to be a little bit on Proverbs. And so I am selling the book of Proverbs to you tonight. Okay, there are 31 chapters, one for every day. So it's perfect if anybody's lacking something and want to do something, read one chapter of Proverbs every day, and it's outstanding. Now, as we go through, I'm going to show you some cool things. It's going to be a short little sharing. I'm going to show you some cool little things with this. You see this here? The adults, I know they know about this. This is Poor Richard's Almanac. And this was Benjamin Franklin who did this. And you see the year of this, 1937. I love this. 1737, thank you. Our nation did not even start. Declaration of Independence was 1776. Okay, so this was 40 years prior to this. Benjamin Franklin was 27 years old. Now think about this. He's starting this business, okay, and he published Poor Richard's Almanac and used a pseudonym, Richard Sanders, which makes me laugh because you see, by Richard Sanders, printed and folded by B. Franklin. Okay, so I kind of like that. I thought that was kind of neat. Now think about this. This is 1737. How many people are living in the United States? I don't know. Okay, but not that many. There's not a bunch of people, but published annually. He did this for 26 years, and he was selling on average 10,000 copies per year of this. I'm like going, golly, yeah. That's huge. I mean, he was the thing to have. Okay, and his almanac consisted of hodgepodge of facts, weather forecasts, household hints, puzzles, historical tidbits, poems, assorted amusements. However, what made the almanac popular and what carried through for all these years were all the proverbs and maxims that included in between. So you think about like the Reader's Digest. This would be like the Reader's Digest of that day. Because you'd have little stories, short stories that would be like positive, encouraging in most cases, with little fun facts, maybe a few cartoons, maybe a helpful cooking recipe, or if you run into this, you know, here's what you could do, those types of things. But it was the proverbs that he had in here that carried over and lasted. Okay, well, to me, it's not by mistake as I go through and explain this teaching. So, anybody know any of his proverbs? Yeah, I'll do. Everybody here has heard multiple ones. This may not be one. Having been poor is no shame, but being ashamed of it is. Well done is better than well said, except for a steak. Well done is better than well said. And I'm like going, these are all his proverbs. If a man could have half his wishes, he would double his troubles. And I'm like going, man, how true is that? Okay. Glass, china, and reputation are easily cracked and never well mended. I'm like going, you hear that now. As we go through this, is what's really cool is what lasted from this, because Benjamin Franklin's been dead for quite a while. He's coming up on his 320th some birthday. He's been dead for a while. And yet, every single person has heard and knows some of his proverbs, okay, of what they say and what it means. And what happens is when a person hears it, if I told a child, they'd be like going, what the heck does that mean? And I'd explain it to them, and then they'd grasp the concept. It's there. It is there now. They're going to have that, and they'll know what it is the next time they hear it. Fish and visitors stink in 3 days.
Yeah.
Okay? He that sows thorns should not go barefoot. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Okay? They won't be counseled. They that won't be counseled can't be helped. And I love that. Now, I cherry pick some of these because there's a lot of them that people know. But for the point of this teaching, I kind of grab some that kind of go along with this. Okay, Proverbs. Here's what we're looking at when we are discussing Proverbs. It says apparently from 49:10, some original sense, and you see this here, superiority in mental action. Okay, that's important when you think of it. A lot of times you think of proverb and you're like going, that's a saying, you know, or it's a book in the Bible, and you don't really put any association with it. The 49:10 where it says apparently from 49:10, this is 49:12, this is the 49:10. And look at this here, it's rule, reign, dominion, govern. And so think of this as governing the superiority of your mental action. Okay? And that's where I want people to think about this. It's governing your mental action is what we're going to be looking at. So let's start off, first of all, to set a couple boundaries here. Let's start off in Ecclesiastes 1. We're going to be on page 635. So we have technology now, printing presses, electronic data, telephones, airplanes. So we are completely different from this time, right? No, we're not. Okay, I'm going to read this here. Everybody there? 635, chapter 1, verses 7 through 11. All the streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Okay, now, as you read this, this is so poetic how it does this. It's constantly flowing. I remember when I went to Ripley's, believe it or not, they had that fountain that was constantly running in the bucket of water, and it had like a little fountain that came out of it, and it was closed. And I just sat there, marveled by this. It's impossible. It can't happen. Well, it doesn't happen. Okay, because what you don't see is the hidden pump that pumps the water up there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but at the same point, I marveled at it going, how is that, how can you keep doing this? This is the poetic nature of this here. All the streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Under the place within the streams flow, hither do they again flow. Words are weak, unable is any man to tell. Not satisfied is the eye by seeing, nor filled is the ear with hearing. That which hath been the same, that shall be, and that which hath been done is the same that shall be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. I need to pull a light over here, I'll hear more. So we always think that it's different. Things are different. It's different, okay? Nothing new under the sun. And let's see, where am I here? Okay, 10, thank you. Is there a thing of which it can be said, see, here it is, new. Already hath it been for ages, it is something which was before us. And verse 11, there is no remembrance of the things before, nor even of the things after, which shall be, will there be any remembrance with them who shall come after. And so this is perfect. You see it. It's we fight the same things and go through the same problems that they do. Maybe with different devices. Maybe have covetings for different things and jealousy. Do people still covet somebody's girlfriend or wife today? Did they then? Yeah, absolutely. And did they still covet, have pride, have sexual immorality? Absolutely. And so they dealt with the same things that we deal with. Now, flip one more here. This will be the second one that we're going to refer to. We're going to go to 1 Kings 4. It's going to be on page 355. Okay, page 355. And one of you kids, whoever gets there first, who's there? Melania, you're there. You're up. So give everybody a second to get it. And we'll go 4, 32, and then skip 33 and read 34. So 32 and 34.
Alright. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and it came to pass that his songs were 1,005. And he discoursed of trees from the cedar that is in Lebanon unto, even unto the hyssop, the springeth out on the wall, and he discoursed of the beasts and birds, creeping things and fishes, and there came in all of the peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, of all the kings in the earth who heard this wisdom.
That's it. And so as we go through here, this is the sharing I'm going to be doing is going to be on the Proverbs. And I'm kind of looking at the first 9 chapters. Now, we're not going to go through them all, but I'm going to show you some cool, fun things with it. And Solomon, as he's writing these. Now, 3,000 Proverbs is what he said he spoke, and 1,005 songs. And so we're going to go through, and we're going to see, we're going to look at some of the stuff with this, and we're going to see exactly why. Now, Solomon was a wise dude, okay? And they said, none like him. And so you look at that, and you're like going, okay, can I glean from a wise guy? Okay, sounds funny. Hey, wise guy from, you know, thousands of years ago, if I allow myself to. I absolutely can. So other people can say their characters a long time ago. Okay, did the proverbs that he spoke still hold truth now? Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the whole purpose of getting up to this point. Now, here we go. Proverbs, great truths with few words. This is why I think that the Little Richard Almanac, the Proverbs, stuck through, is because they're short little snippets that make sense, that are full of truths, that people can understand that. Like that one with the fish and visitor stink in 3 days. Mm-hmm. It kind of makes me laugh, but you can kind of put a thing to it and like going, I can see where he was going with that. Okay, and so those things carry through. And so the same way with the Proverbs, as we go through and read them over and over again, you glean more and glean more each way. Lays out a pathway of wisdom in contrast to the pathway of fools. Wise counsel, the foundation for success in practical areas of living, which basically is the distraction of the world, is what's pulling you away. And you're never going to get away from that in our time. If Christ comes back before we go to sleep, yeah, okay? But in our day, we're not going to get away from that. We fight. This is a constant battle, and you have to be ready to do the battle every day. And so this is the counsel, and the Proverbs are, hey, son, if your kid's getting ready to go out and do a project for the first time, and they, Dad, what tools do I need? Well, father's going to tell him, you're going to need this, you're going to need this, and you're going to need this. Here's a secret. I've done this before. The first thing to do is blah, blah, blah. Second thing is this. And then take breaks. You know, he can fill you full of these wisdoms. Now, a wise child or son is going to be like, thanks, Father, and take that. All right, how do we do this? And go step by step. This is what Proverbs gives you, kind of gives you building blocks to go on. Chapters 1 through 9, choosing wisdom and actively pursuing it is more precious than anything else life has to offer. Okay? Not my words. There's a heavy emphasis on resisting sexual temptation in these chapters. And the 1 through 9, it's kind of symbolic of a father to a son. But it would be for anybody who is wise, bearing wisdom to somebody who's seeking wisdom. And the person seeking wisdom is wise for seeking wisdom. Because if you're not seeking the wisdom, that does not even put you in the category. You're in the wrong game. Okay? You're in the wrong game altogether. You need to refigure. Let's go to Proverbs, and we'll start off there. All right, Proverbs 1. I'll let you kids, we'll take turns reading here. We're going to read verses 1 through 8, page 609. As you're flipping to it, from the teaching I did previous, the reverence of Yahweh is used 14 times in Proverbs. Okay? That's pretty cool. I'm like going, reverence of Yahweh is 14 times. Okay, who, Isaiah, why don't you start reading? Why don't you read 1 through 3?
Okay. The pride of Solomon, son of King David of Israel, for the knowledge and wisdom and correction of discerning the saints. For discerning the saints of intelligence, for receiving the correction of the prudence, righteousness, justice, and equity.
Okay, and why don't you, Esther, why don't you read the next three, 4 through 7? Are you able? You can read all of them if you can, or I'll read them for you if you want me to.
For giving to the simple shrewdness, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a discreet man wise counsels will acquire by gaining
discernment
and proverb and
satire,
the words of the wise and their dark sayings.
Go ahead, you can read 7 and 8, Tony.
The reverence of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, wisdom and correction the foolish has espied. Hear, my son, the correction of thy father, and do not resist the instruction of thy mother, for with a beauty shall they be to thy head, and sayings of ornament to thy neck.
That's it. Now, what's that saying? This is beauty. This is wonderful things to have that. In two times, if you look there in verse 5, a wise man will what?
Hear.
Look in verse 8. Hear, my son. Okay? So what you're going to see here is the hearing is a pivotal point of this amount. Now, children hear their parents all the time. Okay? You need to do this. You need to do this. And you're just kind of like going, man, what time am I going to eat lunch today? What are we having? Okay? So they're not hearing. Okay? The sound goes in, but there's no hearing. And we're discussing hearing, where you're going to hear something. Like if I slipped in there, want to go to... You're like, whoa, what'd you say? Go where? Okay? You're going to be listening. You're going to be tuned into that. So when it comes to the council, that's how we should be, is we should be tuned in. What's the secret? Come on, let me at it. What's the secret that I need to know? What's going to help me in this case? Okay? So that's the hearing portion we're talking about. Proverb. Rhythmic phrases to something simple, familiar object, person, or action. And this is why they're so catchy and why I say it's almost like a song. Like, Chuck and I talked about that. I can hear a song from something in the late 60s that I haven't heard for 20 years. And as soon as the melody starts going, the words are there. And I'm like going, I don't have so much problems memorizing scripture. And yet this comes on the radio and I hear that and I can't help but sing along and I don't even, where's that coming from? Okay. This is the same type of a thing. These rhythmic phrases are those things that try to help us. This is one of the selling factors, I think, of Proverbs, which are great. Effective method of teaching and learning, especially for children. Well-turned phrase is easier to remember, and brevity and association. Shortened, and you can easily associate it because it makes sense to you. Okay. Proverb. So a picture is words.
A thousand words.
How do you know that? Birds of a feather
flock together.
Actions speak louder
than words.
See? You know where these came from?
Mom.
Benny. Beggars can't be Republicans. Choosers. Don't bite the hand that
feeds you.
That's it. Don't put all your eggs in
one basket.
Why?
A crack.
Why? What's the point of putting all your eggs in one basket?
You might lose.
What's the significance? It means that if the basket goes down, you just lost everything.
Diversification.
Okay, it's diversification. Absolutely. That's the whole point of that. And so when you hear that, you're like going, makes sense. Makes perfect sense. Because if it crashed down and you lost everything, you're like going, that's too much. So I have to set things different places.
Is this all Ben Franklin?
Most of these are. Most of these are from him. That's correct. Two wrongs don't make
a right.
A right, but three rights make a left. If you play with fire,
you get burned.
You know, what does that mean?
You die.
What does that mean if you play with fire? You burn. Okay? Playing with fire can mean anything from if you live by the sword, die by the sword. Same type of mentality. If you play with fire, you get burned. Okay? If you play with sexual immorality, you get burned. Okay? This is what we're referring to if you play with fire. So it's not necessarily, you know, standing over fire playing with it. Of course, that happens too, but you can associate it. And that's the associations of Proverbs that stick with you, and people know these, and they've been there forever. Let's go to Proverbs 2. Okay? Melania, I think you read the first three, and then you read the second three.
Don't eat yellow snow, Proverbs.
Yeah, all the Confucius say.
Franklin.
You remember those. Okay, sweetheart, well, 1 through 3 of chapter 2.
My son, if thou wilt receive my sayings, and my commandments will treasure up by them thee, so that thou direct unto my wisdom thine ear, bend thy heart into understanding. Yea, if for understanding thou cry aloud, for knowledge utter thy voice.
That's it. For understanding. And so you listen to these as you read through these. And that's why it's so important to read them over and over again. And I really, if I read four chapters in a row of Proverbs, kind of starts to where I'm not gathering as much. And so for me, reading one chapter and then switching to something else makes more of it stick, because I'm not putting all... It'd be like reading a rule book for a game, okay? And you read all of them before you start playing the game or put the pieces out. To me, it's easier to just read one chapter at a time, flip to something else, and let that digest and start to associate. But this is the cool thing about that. To cry aloud for understanding, cry aloud for knowledge, utter thy voice. Okay, these are actions. If thou seek silver and like hid treasure, thou search for her. And that's the whole thing, is that's what we're saying. Crying out for it, I want this so bad that it becomes a treasure to me, instead of going after the gold or the money, that this is the gold and this is the money. Okay, that you're seeking. Okay, go ahead and read 4 through 6.
4 through 6, okay?
Yes, please.
If thou seekest her as silver, and hid like treasure thou search for her, then shalt thou understand the reverence of Yahweh, and the knowledge of Yahweh shalt thou find, for Yahweh giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth knoweth and understanding.
Knowledge and understanding, that's exactly it. Very good, thank you. So these are things we're doing. So the question is, where you have philosophers, and they will ask, is wisdom a teachable thing? Okay, I've done this before with the leadership. Is leadership a teachable thing? And people will say yes and no. Well, it is. It absolutely. Leadership is a teachable thing. There are people who are born to be born leaders, but it can be taught, and people can learn this. Same thing with wisdom. Can it be taught? And the answer to that is yes. It can be. It is the person that is seeking it, okay, that will get it. A wise person is wise without the dullard, okay? The fool is not wise because of association with the wise man, okay? It takes the person to seek out the wisdom, to gain the wisdom. Can it be taught? Absolutely. Absolutely can be taught. I'm going to show you some cool things. Wisdom. Quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The quality of being wise. Okay, that's a definition for it. And it kind of works with what I'm looking at here as far as what we're looking at here. You may have knowledge and you may acquire experience, but if you make bad choices, okay, Ted Bundy, for example, okay, the lawyers and judges say that he was one of the smartest people that they had run into in their time, okay? Good judgment, horrible judgment. Very intelligent man. So intelligence and wisdom do not go hand in hand. A lot of times, one will pull and distract from the other. And so as we're looking at this, we have to associate that. Person may think to themselves, you know, I barely graduated from high school, or lots of generations where I didn't graduate from high school. Well, I could never be a wise person. And absolutely not. That's foolish. It's absolutely foolish, because if you seek things, you can still get to that point. So good judgment is what we're looking at. Wisdom is inherently good judgment. A person has years of experience and acquired vast knowledge, may in a fit of anger, outburst, overcome by lust, fall into prey, and yet still be very knowledgeable, okay, very experienced in his career or whatever, and make bad judgments. So judgment is one of the big things with this, because wisdom, as we look at it on the biblical sense, is judicial. How you go about, how you carry yourself, okay, and the choices that you make. If you know the choices that are right, and you go against those, it's bad judgment. Bad, you're not being very wise. Okay? Weakness is like, I'm sorry, we already did this. We rolled back on there. The one who is able to keep these vices in check is the wise master. Okay? And that's where we look at. And that's where you can also look to people. If you're looking, seeking wisdom from somebody, you go to somebody who has the specialties of that. Proverbs. Now we're going to look at a couple parallelisms. Kids, hang with me on this. These are parallelisms because Proverbs is put together very poetic. Remember, Solomon did a lot of these, okay? Not all of them, but did a lot of the Proverbs. And the poetic side that he put in there is awesome. It's just great how he puts them together. And so we're going to look at a few of the parallelisms to show how they've done. The first one is called synonymous parallelism. This is where the second line or the second part supports and emphasizes the thought of the first. And so as we go through these, you'll realize in some of the Proverbs you've read, you're like going, oh yeah, I've seen that before. Proverbs 6:4, do not give sleep to thine eyes or slumber to thine eyelashes. Okay? And that's exactly what this is. This parallelism, the second line supports and emphasizes the thought of the first. These are poetic natures as far as it being written. There's similes in here as well. We'll get to those here in just a second. Second one is antithetic parallelism. Brings a distinct contrast in the second line to the thought of the first. As to present opposite positions of the same proverb. Second line will usually begin with the word but. Now this is where I remember a lot of the Proverbs. If this does this, this is what you get. But if this does this, this is what you get. Okay? And this is what we're looking at. That's an antithetic parallelism. And here's Proverbs 10:7. The memory of the righteous yieldeth blessing, but the name of the lawless dieth out. Okay? And this is the different ways of them being written. Next one, synthetic parallelism. The second line actually adds to the meaning and the content. Okay, so Proverbs 18:8, the words of a tattler, or you could refer to this as a gossiper.
Talebearer.
Yeah, somebody, a talebearer, that's it. The words of a tattler, talebearer, or a gossiper are dainties. They therefore go down into the chambers of the inner man. And I had to ponder that and think about that. I'm like going, who doesn't, when somebody starts telling juicy gossip about somebody, that's almost like this hook and this, you know, hostess fruit pie on the end of it to me. You know, reeling me in where you're like going, and then you hear it, and it just settles down inside of you, and you're like going, a lot of times you're like going, man, oh my gosh. You know, I'm like, I shouldn't know that, or that person shouldn't tell that, you know. And I think to that, and that's what it is, and that's why I love it—the poetic nature of that. There's a title like dainties, like sweet fruit, okay? They go deep down inside the inner man.
They may not eat at their dainties.
That's right. Aww, that's exactly, man. It. Introverted parallelism, a style with two successive statements are repeated, but like in a reverse order, okay? So here we go, Proverbs 3:10. So shall thy storehouses be filled with plenty, and with new wine shall thy vats overflow. Okay? And so there's different parallelisms. Now to me, when I read it, I understand it as I go through. Yeah, it sounds perfect. But it's poetic. It's the way it's written, and it's the way it's pieced together, that it's not by mistake, or it's not by accidents or happenstance, okay? It's the way it was made. And you know, what's it say about the scripture? All scripture is?
God breathed.
That's exactly it. God breathed. And so I look at this, so I'm like going, okay, this is Yahweh's ability to let his poetic nature out through those people who are writing the words that Yahweh is uttering. Different parallelisms. This one here is called figure of speech or similes. These ones are probably the easiest there to go through as the parallelisms. Reflect and connect poetically. So a simile, okay? Proverbs 10:26. As vinegar to the teeth, as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard who send them. So what we're referring to here is a person who will not work. I try to hire a person, get you to work, and you refuse to do it. Now, it's really easy to picture the smoke to the eyes, because anybody stood next to campfire, yeah, you know, it'd be like me saying, you know, man, I came in today and I was so hungry, and I cut into this lemon, that's all there was, and I was just so thirsty, and it was juice was running down my hands, and I held it up to my mouth and squeezed all the juice in, and your mouth, as you hear that, you're like, okay? This gives association to it. And so this is a simile, like vinegar to the teeth, smoke to the eyes, and this is good because it really puts it to where, hey, I know what you're talking about. And gee, I don't want to be that dude who was a smoke to the eyes, you know. You're always calling me to work. Yeah, let me see here. Okay, snooze a couple more times. Okay, next one. Direct comparison favors wisdom over the things of life. Okay, and these are awesome because these are like almost like this and a reward. This and a reward. Okay, and I love the way that Yahweh puts these together. Better is a little with the reverence of Yahweh than great treasure. And what, how do you say that when you
disquieteth
therein? And so what it's saying is that to have little and yet have the reverence of Yahweh is worth way more than the rest of that. And so these are the things that we see this. Better is my fruit than gold. Yea, fine gold, and mine increase than choice silver. And so people see that. What does the world want? Well, the world sees something shiny. Hey, look at that. Okay? And this is where we have to do that. The wise man knows. You know what? There's a show that we watch. It's Expedition Unknown. And I love the show because they go to really cool, exotic places around the world. The cinema photography is all high def. Pictures are awesome, and they show some cool parts of the world. Okay? It's a treasure seeking. Treasure seeking only. That's the whole premise of the show. There's been what? Four seasons of them? Guess how many treasures they found?
Nine.
Zero. Not a one. Okay? But yet these people, and what's sad for me is I watch these people who have staked their entire lives. You can see some of these people probably lost families, lost jobs in search for something that's a foretold fairy tale to try in hopes that they can find something. And paint a picture. Well, look at this map. It says that there's three sisters. And they look up and there just happens to be three peaks in the mountains. Well, that's gotta be it. And I'm like going, this is the kind of seeking that Yahweh was talking about in Proverbs 1. Okay, seeking is that hidden treasure that we should be looking out. Hey, golly, let me see what I can find. Let's see what this is. And this is what Yahweh's saying. Better is my fruit. Better is my fruit, even though I may be poor and impoverished. If I've got the fruit of Yahweh, I'm doing good. I'm doing real well. All right. A wise man will hear and will increase learning and discern, and a discreet man counsels. Wise counsels will acquire. This is one we just read. Hearing is growth in knowledge, and that's the important thing of that. And I think about that, and I'm like going, faith comes by hearing. The hearing that we have. A wise person, okay, I used to laugh because in school we used to think, you know, golly, big test on this book. I didn't read it all. Maybe if I just take my nap on top of it, it'll seep out, you know. That osmotic pressure from all that wealth of knowledge will just soak right into my brain. Okay? Doesn't work that way. And so again, a dullard can be around a wise person if they are not seeking and gaining, nothing comes out. It takes the person to go out and seek. And when the person seeks, they're hearing it. And so wisdom comes from hearing. Well, guess what? I can read the word. Yahweh says to cry aloud. Okay? To cry aloud for it. Crying aloud is verbal. It's speaking. Okay? To speak. So remember these things here. Let's finish up here. We're going to do the last portion of this in Matthew. Mark, we got a note. I do. Matthew 13. Verses 10 through 17, and this is going to be on page 13. I will read this as soon as everybody gets out. Okay, so the preface of this here is, you see there at the beginning of chapter 13, is everybody there on page 13? Mm-hmm. Page 13, chapter 13, right above chapter 13, parable of the sower. Okay, again. Okay, parable of the sower again. So here we go. So we're looking at this. Wherefore parables. If you look down there right above 10, it's the other note that says, wherefore in parables, the sower explained. Okay, now in verse 10, we're going to go through 17. I'll read these. And the disciples coming near said to him, Wherefore, in parables, art thou speaking to them? And he answering said, Because unto you hath it been given to get to know the sacred secrets of the kingdom of heavens, whereas unto them it hath not been given. For whosoever hath, it shall be given to him, and he shall... I'm sorry, let me start again. For whosoever hath, it shall be given to him, and he shall be made to abound. But whosoever hath not, even what he hath shall be taken from him. Mm-hmm. Now you read that and you're like going, golly, that sounds... Fair. Yeah, it doesn't sound fair at all. Okay, and so and they're asking him and they're like going, man, all he asked was just, why are you telling him parables? Now we're getting this explanation. Wise man's going to glean, okay, golly. How about, I used to laugh because I'd ask my dad a question and I'd get the lecture. And yes, that's where I got it from, I'm sure. I'd get the lecture and I'm like going, can I just get the short version? Can I just get it? Yeah, I'm kind of running late. Can you wrap this up? Okay. No, this is part of it. And so Yehoshua's explaining this, and it's imperative to explain it because today most Christians don't understand why the parables. Okay. Most people will tell you that the parables are so that it's understandable. Okay. It's the exact opposite. Okay. So in verse 13, for this reason in parables unto them do I speak, because seeing they see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And again is being fulfilled in them the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, they shall surely hear, and yet will not understand, and surely see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people hath become dense, and with their ears heavily have they heard, and their eyes have they closed, lest once they should see with their eyes, and with their ears should hear, and with their heart should understand and return, when I would certainly heal them. But happy are your eyes that they see, and your ears that they hear. For verily I say unto you, many prophets and righteous men have coveted to see what you see and have not seen, and to hear what you hear and have not heard. Now I'm going to read 18 is where, hear ye even the parable of him that sowed. And then he starts into it. So hear ye, open your eyes. And so I think about that in verse 17, that many prophets and righteous men have coveted to see what you see and have not seen, and to hear what you hear and not heard. And I think about us and the administration that we're in as a sacred secret, that those people, even those that they're referring to in verse 17, amplified more for us, even beyond that is even more for us. And so the wisdom is there for the picking, to take it. This is a sharing to encourage people into Proverbs and to go through, and even just a couple of them here and there to go through and read and to put understanding to them, because they're awesome when if you tell somebody that, if you tell somebody a proverb, whether it's Benjamin Franklin's Proverbs or one from the Word, okay, people normally get what you're saying. I understand that. I may disagree, but I understand the context. Okay, I understand the context. So, anyways, I'm going to go ahead and close. Yahweh, we thank you for these words. We thank you for all that you've given. Again, just for this wonderful time, this wonderful season. We thank you for this free country that we have, Yahweh. We intercede for all men and women in authority. We intercede for those that are not with us this evening, and just for the healings for those that are praying for it. We speak against the adverse weather and the catastrophes that are upon us, that as a nation, that we just stand up against these things, and we speak these in the name of Yehoshua Mashiach, that we stand against these things, for the storms to be blown to sea, for the fires to distinguish, that the rains just open upon these things. We just thank you, Yahweh, for the creation that you gave us, that we are a part of it, and you made this creation and made us that we would have fellowship with you and be obedient and honor you, Yahweh. And so we thank you that we're able to do this. We're able to enjoy this present age, and to be able to enjoy the things that you've created and put around us, and knowing that what our future and what our destiny is, and to have that great hope. And so we thank you for that we are continually looking to the heavens for your son, for his return, and we just just great ambition that we have for that day. And so we thank you for these. We thank you for the words that you continually give us, Yahweh, and speaking those through us. And we speak this all in your son's name, Christ Jesus. my sons and daughters, do not place yourself or picture yourself as an ornament. For as an ornament that I see, an ornament is normally hollow and is attractive on the outside, but is just space on the inside. And upon shattering, there's nothing left. And so I look upon the inside. I look on the inner man. I see the heart, and I see your thoughts and your ideas, and these things that you have of me, these are wholesome. And so focus upon these things and push those other things aside, for the stream will carry you downwards if you go with the way of the world. But I call you to be going upstream and to be going against these and to be standing with me and knowing the things that I put upon your heart, for I've given you the decisions of righteousness and justice, that these things are in your moral character to be worked upon, and you have these things and you know of these things, and of these things to continually come to my word and come to me, that I will enrich you, that I will speak these things to you, that I will work wonderful blessings through you. Amen.